Yo, Live All Good podcast listeners, it is the latest episode of Cruising with the Coaches, a conversation with Julie and Lee. In this episode, we talk about twins and when they meet their mother. It's actually a story that's inspired by true stories, but we talk about all of that with the twins meeting their mother and their adoptive mother in this episode. That's coming up next. Stay tuned.
Our priority at Blue Monarch Communications is building your confidence as an effective presenter. Whether you're preparing for a formal presentation, a keynote address, an interview, or presenting an idea or concept to your team or your clients, we are here to ensure that you are poised to effectively communicate your content while engaging and connecting with your audience. Let our team help you shine.
Hey folks, this is Lee Grigsby here, health and life coach and founder of Live All Good Coaching. I'll be on the air with Podcast Business News Network talking about the various things around health and wellness and mental health. Also talking about how mindset is critical to achieving the goals that you set for yourself. You can reach me at liveallgood44@gmail.com, or you can go to my website, liveallgood.com, and fill out the contact form and reach me there. Once again, that's liveallgood.com. Go to the About section, fill out the contact form, or you can reach me at liveallgood44@gmail.com.
Peace, everyone. This is Aunt Boogie, and you're listening to my man, Lee Grigsby, on the Live All Good podcast. Keep it locked. Let's go, coach!
Sorry, I was dancing to the music of the open there. Welcome, folks, to another episode of Cruising with the Coaches, a conversation with Julie and Lee. You know, I'm going to go with my joke just because. Clearly, I'm Julie. She's Lee.
Yes, so, I'm Lee.
Yeah. Can't use it when we do video. You know what I mean?
No, not the same. Well, so, I think we have different voices, too, so we can't really do it without.
I can't even
do that. Yeah, you
that'd be a different show.
So yeah.
How you doing today?
Good. How are you?
I'm hanging in there, man. It's all good, you know. Yeah, I think so. You know what? I really want to get into this episode because it's a feel good story, I think.
Do you think?
You know, I do. I think it is a feel good story.
Okay.
In the end. And yeah. I want to say this to you, because when I was reading it the first time, and I know, like, I sent you the pre-production stuff.
Sure.
When I was reading it the first time, I thought for sure it was like 100% true story. Okay. So I just want people to understand it is a story that is inspired
by a true story. Yes.
So that way, you know, there's no misunderstanding that, like, if there's a story that resembles this, absolutely, but it's inspired by a story. All right. So we are talking about twins. And I know that's a very vague thing, and people are like, wait, what? What are you talking about?
So, yeah, what about them?
Well, you can have fraternal twins. You can have identical. No. That's not what we're talking about.
No, you're so, right. When you say twins, I hear what you would call it. I see twins, like the movie with Arnold Schwarzenegger and Danny DeVito. Which like you're the genetic garbage. It's like,
by the way, why haven't they remade that movie yet? Like, because has there been a remake of that?
Remaking every other movie. No, fair, they're too busy fair. Remaking everything else. So
very fair.
Get your own. Fair. Get your own ideas, kids.
That'd be a great remake, though. With technology today, like anyway. Anyway, folks, no, we're not talking about the remake of that movie. What we are talking about is this story here, inspiration. But so there were. Oh, wait a minute. Did I go to the wrong slide? No, I didn't.
No, you're right.
Okay, cool. So there was a single mom who found some twins that she saw that were abandoned at the park. And by their 18th birthday, the biological mom shows up. And you're like, wait, what? How does that even? So this is what we're going to cover. This is the story. All right. And that's why it was called twins. So before we get on to the rest of what the story is, any thoughts that you'd like to share about this story?
So we're going to take this piece by piece.
A little bit. Yeah, we're going to take it in a few pieces. Yeah.
So just in what has been exposed as of right now, that's like such a hard pill to swallow. Just because I can't imagine having raised those children for 18 years and the biological person just comes up out of literally thin air. Just like, I can't imagine how just heartbreaking that would be. You know what I mean? Right. Just like, I get the whole, and I'm obviously, I have children. I can't imagine my life without them. But like, I also can't imagine what that is like to have to make that decision to walk away from children either, understanding that you can't give those children the life that you feel that they deserve.
Right. But so there's definitely two sides.
There's like all kinds. This is a whole onion for me. Yeah. Like I was, when you said it was a good story, I was like, we must have read wrong. A whole different story, brother.
No, I promise. It's a good story. Because there are some things throughout that I have questions about. Again, it's a good story for a reason that we will point out. Mm-hmm. But so let's go to the story. So Cynthia was on her daily afternoon trip to the park and with her then three young kids, right? Mia, I'm going to guess Issa and Sam. And she noticed this abandoned stroller. Okay. So seeing that there was no one with the stroller, she's looking around and okay, no one's claiming it. To her surprise, she looks in the stroller, two sleeping babies, all right, wrapped in nothing but the swaddling clothes and empty bottles of milk beside them, right? So I can imagine just from there, as a parent, like, God, you know, what am I going to do? I'll wait, all right, until they come around. So that's what she does, right? She's looking, there's nobody around. She sits closer, waiting for someone to show up. No one shows up. So she's ready to leave. It's, you know, getting closer to probably nighttime. And she's like, all right, I got to do something. So she calls 911. All right. So let's come out before we go further. Where are your thoughts now on this story so far? Would you do the same? You can't see anything different, right?
Yeah. I mean,
if you were Cynthia.
Yeah. If I was Cynthia, I would have done the same. I'm like, once you can't unsee that, you know what I mean? Yes. Like, you can't just, there's these babies sitting here and they have no one and then just walk away. Like, I mean, there are people who can do that. I'm just saying,
and,
you know, I couldn't.
And I was going to say, even as a guy, right? I cannot imagine doing, like, I've been to the park plenty of times when my daughter was younger and running around, all this. I cannot imagine seeing the stroller, okay, cool, look in the stroller, you see babies. I might have called my wife first before I called 911. But I can't see having left those babies there.
Right.
I cannot see doing anything different. So absolutely. All right. So we move on with the story here. So clearly our friend Cynthia called the police, and then within minutes they showed up. Social services was there. They looked at the, you know, the cameras that are covering the park, and they hadn't seen anyone for over an hour, even before Cynthia saw the stroller. Okay. Mm-hmm. So that's like kind of crazy in and of itself. Mm-hmm. So then this is one of the social workers is saying, after having looked at the cameras, that this is a deliberate case. The parents left them here on purpose. And then clearly what I think we most know is that, or most of us would know, that they would say this: they have no choice but to put them in foster care, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Because if they found abandoned children, that's typically what happens. So Cynthia was listening to this, and she was around when they were talking about it, and she chimes in that I can take care of them. Okay. She was compelled to say this to the authorities. And so they then reply, like, are you sure? That's because clearly they saw that she already had three kids. This is two more kids that you're taking on. She says, I'd like to try. She also says, I can take them in while you investigate their parents, and we can slowly go through the adoption process. All right. So, yeah, there's some more to unpack.
But this is understanding that that's not really the process of how things go.
See, I was going to say, let's
like, I, really, the kids would have had to have gone to the authorities, period. You know, you don't just say, I'm going to take the kids, you know,
and they're like, sure, you're a NIST citizen.
Are you sure you have three others to feed? No, first of all, I mean, honestly, I think if anyone in the system is sitting there saying, absolutely, just give her these kids, because we can't take any more kids into the system. Right. Like, absolutely. Right. But that's not how it works.
They would totally have been on board with it, but we all know that it doesn't work.
That's
that way.
Not how it works. Yeah, that's not
and you know, I was even having questions like that. That's when I started realizing, okay, this is an inspired story, because just different content or different context. But a few years back, my neighbor had parked they had locked their bikes on between our fences out front. So at some point, like at 4 or 5 in the morning, you hear this this buzzsaw trying to cut through the locks. Okay.
Oh, okay.
So my security cameras clearly caught the two guys who were trying to steal the bikes. By the second time they cut through the first lock, by the time they cut through the second lock, my neighbor had woken up, opened the window, and the guys took off, right? My security cameras clearly caught the guys in the street, and the one guy like walked through my yard, and like all of this. So the cops came, I showed them the footage. They were like, wow, that's pretty clear. And nothing else came of it, right?
It's pretty clear. We can see exactly who did it. But thank you. Thank you for sharing.
I promise you that's almost word for word what he said. So I'm like, okay, cool. What, again, nothing came of it. Neighbors don't live there anymore. That was some years ago.
Mm-hmm.
To have seen that in the story, like, oh yeah, they checked the closed circuit TV cameras about the park and all that. Okay. Mm-hmm. Doesn't really happen that way either, but I get it. It's almost like this was inspired by a story from Law and Order, but all right, you know,
I was gonna say Lifetime or Hallmark, but okay.
Yeah, they gotta fit it in. They gotta fit it in the 1 hour.
Got right? So much they time. Fit it in.
But I get it. Like, if again, trust me, folks, it is a feel good story. We're just kind of picking it apart with real life. So, so then, all right, she gets the kids. They're like, all right, you know, we're impressed by you. You feel like you can handle it. So she gets home and she's talking to her parents, because remember, Cynthia is a single mom with three young kids. All right. So she's talking to her parents about, you know, really adopting the kids. This is the part. Well, we'll go through this. She's getting a promotion and she has a side business and is doing well. So
she'd she got all this to, time for five kids.
She'd love to have them join her family. Right. Mm-hmm. So the folks seem like they're logical and they say, well, you know, we're kind of worried about how you can take care of all five kids at once. But they supported her and they're like, cool, you're not alone, sweetheart. We're going to happily raise all of our grandkids with you. That's what her mom assured her. All right. So I have to stop here because you first or me?
You go ahead.
I love the fact that Cynthia was a single mom, getting a promotion, and had a side business with three young kids. I would like to know what Lifetime movie this is. Or what planet it was on, because, man, I want that job. Or the side business, which I'll take the side business, apparently.
Because
the
side business. I want her parents. Oh, we will help you.
Right? I mean,
my mom will be like, you on your own, babe.
Like, you're choosing to add two more to the three that you can't take care of?
Like, I okay. love your heart, yeah. but I can't help you. Okay, thanks, Mom.
So again, man, like, I know I told y'all folks it's a good story. And I promise that it is. I promise that it is. But we're having some fun here picking apart this inspired story. Right? Mm-hmm. So why don't we take a break here? Because let's let everyone digest the feel goods of, you know, Cynthia's parents are nice. The authorities were like, oh, we trust you. We think you're a good parent because
those other angels,
right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let's take a break. And when we come back, we're going to fast forward a bit and find out what happens on their 18th birthday. All right. All right. Stay tuned, folks. We'll be right back.
Hey folks, this is Lee Grigsby here, health and life coach and founder of Live All Good Coaching. I'll be on the air with Podcast Business News Network talking about the various things around health and wellness and mental health. Also talking about how mindset is critical to achieving the goals that you set for yourself. You can reach me at liveallgood44@gmail.com, or you can go to my website, liveallgood.com, and fill out the contact form and reach me there. Once again, that's liveallgood.com. Go to the About section, fill out the contact form, or you can reach me at liveallgood44@gmail.com.
Our priority at Blue Monarch Communications is building your confidence as an effective presenter. Whether you're preparing for a formal presentation, a keynote address, an interview, or presenting an idea or concept to your team or your clients, we are here to ensure that you are poised to effectively communicate your content while engaging and connecting with your audience. Let our team help you shine.
Listen to Keeping the Towel with Aunt Boogie on SoundCloud, Anchor.fm, Amazon Music, Google Podcasts, and Apple Podcasts. A new episode is dropped every first and third week of every month. Once again, Keeping the Towel with Aunt Boogie. Wipe the blood, wipe the sweat, wipe the tears. But whatever you do, don't throw in your towel.
Hey, folks, welcome back from the break. This is Cruising with the Coaches, a conversation with Julie and Lee. And today's episode, we're talking about twins. and the lovely woman Cynthia who took them in. All right. Mm-hmm. So we've been going through the story, and just to recap real quick, there was a stroller that was abandoned at the park. Cynthia found the stroller, found the babies, called the authorities. They trusted her. Mom and dad said, hey, we're going to help you raise all the grandkids together. Here we are. Oh, and Cynthia was getting a promotion and has a good side business going mm-hmm. on.
Yeah. Right?
So at this point, everybody has now turned off this episode and like, Lee and Julie, you guys are full of it.
We don't want to hear the rest. Nobody listening to this.
Kidding, folks, kidding. I promise. It's a good story. I promise. So moving on. Yes. So Cynthia did raise the twins. Okay. She then named them Ellie and Elijah. And she showed no difference between them and her biological kids, gave them everything that her biological kids had. So as they're growing up, and this is a quote from Ellie, thank you for loving us, even though we're not your biological kids. We've never felt secluded or treated differently all these years, and it was all because of you. Okay? Mm-hmm. So Cynthia's response was, I love you both so much. I might not have given birth to you, but you will always be my children. And I promise to do everything I can to give you both good lives. And as you see, Cynthia worked hard to raise the five kids. She ran a successful business while working on her corporate job to make ends meet. I got to come out here for a second so we can just... We just got to talk about that for a quick second, right? Again, single mom, corporate world, mm-hmm. with a successful side business with five kids.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to let that sink in for a minute. Corporate world, successful
corporate
side
world
business.
Is like what 7:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. at least. So obviously her mom and dad had these kids.
I was gonna say, I'm not so sure that Cynthia raised the kids. I think grandma and granddad raised the kids, you know what
right
I'm saying?
Right. I mean, I firmly yeah. believe, you know, yeah. it does take a village, no doubt.
Indeed,
but
indeed,
but yeah,
I think Cynthia, I'm so interested. I wish the story had what she did as a side business
mm-hmm.
because ooh, okay, I'm gonna just put my wrist out here and digitally you should hit it because maybe she had an OnlyFans site. I don't know. That was
stop it. Good-hearted people don't do stuff like that.
I told you, see, I put my hand out and Anita slapped. I get it. Kidding, folks, kidding. I'm not suggesting Cynthia had OnlyFans.
We don't
but then
know,
again, but it was successful. Yeah. So yeah. Anyhow, we're moving on with Cynthia's story. All right. So, and really this is a story about Ellie and Elijah. All right. So on their 18th birthday, and Cynthia turned 50, right? Ready to retire. Because clearly she's been kicking butt in the corporate world and her side business is crushing it. I feel her ready to retire at 50.
Mm-hmm.
As she's preparing the celebration for their 18th birthday, a woman appears on the porch claiming to be the biological mom. All right? Next, we get to, what are you doing here? Says Elijah.
Mm-hmm.
Biological mom says, I couldn't miss my twin's 18th birthday. You know, and she's trying to like push into the house. And mm-hmm. Ellie says, your twins, like, who are you? You have no right to call us that. Mm-hmm. You didn't raise us, and you're not our mother. Got to come out here on this one. Got to come out here because I got questions. I know it's a good story. Feel good mm-hmm. story. Who shows up randomly on the doorstep? Number
well,
one.
Well, again, there's so many holes to this story and sure, like, sure. you know, the lifetime background that we're missing or the, you know, the prelude, of the Hallmark prelude.
Indeed.
Because like,
indeed.
Obviously, if the mom found them, it had to have been an open adoption. Her information would have had to. So obviously Cynthia would have to have expected her to be coming
at some point
in order. And you know, like, you know, whether you're always looking at the door going, oh my God, could that be her? Or could, is, you know, is this a possibility or kind of thing? Cause if, you know, once you say it's open, then it's open. I don't know. Maybe you can go back and close it. I don't know.
I'm not sure. Cause I do know situations too, from friends of mine who had plans in case the biological mom showed up, like not at the residence, but at school. Right.
Okay.
Like, let everyone know, hey, this is the plan, if, because the biological mom should not have shown up, wasn't supposed to.
Was it a family member though who had adopted the child?
Oh yeah, it was the dad. Yeah. Not just, it wasn't like a stranger.
It can't be closed. Exactly. Right. So it you can't do anything about that. But I'm just saying, in this particular situation,
because this is an adoption.
Did she leave it open because, you know, you have, you know, that idea that this person could possibly come in?
And the other question,
if that's the case, though, she should have had a conversation with twins, because this woman just showed up. So she
That leads me to my next question, that they had to know who she was. Right. So I would think, you know, somewhere along that those 18 years, the investigators got the information, gave pictures, or hey, this is what she looks like, right? They would have had to known that to be able to answer the door and be like, what are you doing here? Or how do you have the right to? I'd be like, oh, hello, yeah, can we help you? What are you selling? Right?
Right. You know, like, you don't just automatically, my mom, I remember you. Like,
right. No, you were in the stroller. So the biological mom, you know, is upset with Ellie's answer, right? And like, is this how you were raised? You know, answer back to your own mom, trying to play the pity card. And then this is the rough part, right? Don't you feel any love for me at all? I've been having a hard time all these years. I thought maybe my children cared about me enough to help me out. As she said this, trying to squeeze out some tears. All right. Mm-hmm. Trying to play, you know, play on the emotions. And, you know, friend Elijah says, did you feel any love for us when you left us at the park 18 years ago? Mm-hmm. Now, clearly this is an inspired story, because you should be ashamed of yourself for trying to come here and ask for money, right? Also,
Where's the ask for money? I did want to ask, like,
wasn't money? In the story, there wasn't an ask for money. I think it's implied with the biological mom saying, hey, I thought my kids would love me enough to help me out. You know, I think it's implied there.
Okay.
But again, because
it's like a Homadia story, they just move quickly.
well, also, if it was realistic, right? I don't think Elijah would scoff. I don't think he'd say you should be ashamed of yourself. There might have been like, who the heck are you? And
the door is closed. No one's even talking to the lady on the stoop. I'm just saying.
I feel you on that too. That's real.
Yeah.
So then we get to, you know, the biological mom is trying to argue, I'm her mom. I'm your mom, right? And children are supposed to help their parents. So then Ellie chimes in. Nope, you are not our mother. Cynthia's our mother. You better leave before you call the cops. You're not welcome here, and you're trespassing. And shut the door, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, that's how it played out, for sure. Mm-hmm. I mean, sorry. You know what? I did miss this one. That Elijah and Ellie went back into their party, right? Hugged Cynthia, said, we love you, Mom. And that's true. That's real, right? Because clearly they just had this interaction with who was supposed to be their biological mom, right? Shut the door. We're going to call the cops. So that's why I say it's a feel-good story. Because we have a woman, single mom, saw these abandoned kids, could not leave herself to leave them with the authorities. Didn't say, didn't call the authorities and say, hey, you know what? Found some kids. Come pick them up. Was like, felt it in her heart to, hey, you know what? I got to give these kids a good upbringing, right? I got to help them out. Mm-hmm. Also the parents, right? The grandparents, or the parents of Cynthia, the grandparents of the kids were like, yes, you know what? We don't know how you're going to do it, but we want to help you too. Okay.
Right.
And then clearly the love and background and affection and foundation that Cynthia gave Ellie and Elijah clearly was reciprocated on their eight, because then they saw their mother, their biological mom, and they told her exactly what they should have told her, right? Mm-hmm. Like, nah, you didn't raise us. You don't have that right. You gave that up when you gave us up. Like, kick rocks.
Right.
Although they didn't say that, you know? So that's the good part of this story, that's what this was inspired by. What can we learn from it? That family doesn't always mean it's blood family, right? And there are people who genuinely want to see what's best for us. There are people who generally want to see us succeed, right? I think that was the inspiration behind this story, even though we had to put some realism in it and kind of let people know that's not exactly how it works out, but
right.
Definitely a lifetime story, you know? Yeah.
But so like, so that's why I'm like, I think.
Go for it.
I have a different feel good story. So like, that's like the way that one ended, I didn't feel like it was a feel good story.
Well, it's a feel good story for the twins and for Cynthia. Like, they got abandoned.
But how is it? How let's really evaluate that. How is that really a feel good story for them? Yeah.
It's a feel good situation up until that point because they were taken care of, they were given a good foundation. Now, what happens after this, right? With the feelings of, okay, now we're mad because you abandoned us. Now that could happen in the future. Right after they've gone through this exchange. Yeah. I'm only saying it's a feel good story because they were given a chance. They weren't left out there like these babies. You don't read the story of abandoned baby dies in the cold, that kind of
thing. Yeah, but how about the story of what happened? Why did mom choose to do that in the first place? I mean, I get help family out, you know, and I maybe it wasn't the appropriate dialogue for her to come in talking about helping family out.
Right.
As far as,
but do you want to find out why she left?
Yeah. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, just mm-hmm. the closure yeah. for those kids to find out, because, you know, you never know exactly the way that affects a person, the whole abandonment. I mean, I grant what wonderful you have Cynthia. Cynthia's been taking care of you for the last 18 years.
Right.
But like, what about the closure of finding out what actually happened? Like,
or what was the tough times you've been having?
What was the issue
that
what
you
was the
couldn't
concern?
Divide? And yeah. that's the real life stuff that we're talking about, yeah. right? That's the yeah. realistic part of what would happen. There's much more to it than it's the inspired story was a fairy tale story, right? Fairy tale ending. These two kids are left. They get adopted by a successful single mom. Yeah. So it's meant to, again, right. What can we learn from it? That you don't always choose your family either. Right. Blood family doesn't mean you're always family, that you can be family. I will willingly say it here. I get people who I treat as family who are not my blood family.
Mm-hmm.
Differently.
Oh,
than,
I probably have people who.
Than my blood family.
Yeah. Yeah, mm-hmm, no, mm-hmm. But then, you know, and I'm just not saying that, I guess I didn't feel like it was a fairy tale story, but at the same time, there's a whole other onion that needs to be revealed on her side, because like, how dare you be so selfish that you think you can just go knock on a door 18 years later, talking about, what's up, how can you help me, you know, like.
Or can I get some cake and ice cream? Like.
Right? Like, who does that?
So there's clearly a sequel to this Lifetime movie we're calling.
That's what I'm talking about. I need to find out what's going on with Mom. Why did you do that? Like, why did you think you could even show up and ask for help?
Without getting a boot to the face.
Yeah. Because kids are not forgiving. They are not.
So you know what? I think that's a great question for our viewers and listeners, right? I think, well, not that exact question, but I think what I want to pose to them is, what are your thoughts? What are your thoughts on, again, you know, Cynthia taking them in, right? What are your thoughts there? What are your thoughts on the mom coming back 18 years later? And what are your thoughts on, you know, the lack of closure for all three of them, right?
Yeah,
the twins and the mom.
Yeah, you know,
I would love for our audience to comment because you know we're on YouTube. Send us an email. Send us, you know, a comment even on the audio side on Anchor. Send us your audio clip of what your thoughts are about that.
Yeah,
and we'd love to do a follow up show. Although we won't recreate the sequel.
I mean, we could, but that story would be way different.
Or maybe what we'll do is we'll have a tie-in show with all of the homework that we've given over the episodes and all of the episodes that have had questions, like our friend Jesse, who was getting the meals from the other woman.
Jesse.
And mm-mm. And we'll tie it all in with our viewer comments. I would love to do that.
Yeah, it is interesting, though, because, I mean, it's interesting that, you know, when people have titles that they think they're entitled to throughout the lifetime, you know, granted, again, you don't understand the story. You don't know why she left those children, but abandonment is abandonment. But you can't come back into that child's life 18 years later talking about, is that how you speak to your mom?
You're lucky I spoke to you.
Exactly. You're lucky you're still on my stoop and without a boot print to your forehead. Are you kidding me?
Like, I'm telling you. Yeah.
I don't know. It is always interesting to me that, you know, there are folks who have, like I said, a title that they think, although they're not doing the work to maintain that title, that they are entitled to the benefits of that title. And it's just kind of like, you know what? No, that's not how it works. You know,
for the fellas listening, you don't get to be a donor and think you get to then get the benefits of being a dad.
Right. And that goes both ways too. Cause I know plenty of moms who have turned their backs on their children because, you know, whether it's a midlife crisis or whatever, they just, this wasn't the life I planned kind of a thing. You know, go like what you were talking about, the mom not being able to show up at the kid's school. I mean, there are reasons for that, you know? So just, I don't know. It's so funny because like, I know there's so much about forgiveness. You should forgive.
Sure.
But like you can forgive, but if the behavior doesn't change, what are you actually doing? I mean, that's just repetitive pain. Why are you going to keep letting that repetitive pain back into your life? Like, that's just...
And like we had touched on several episodes ago, right?
Yeah.
You don't necessarily have to forgive. Forgiveness is up to, so in Ellie and Elijah's case, right? These twins, whatever the reason, I would almost, it sounds like they kind of had some idea maybe of what had been going on.
Mm-hmm.
Up to them whether they want to forgive or not.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Absolutely. So, yeah, folks, go back and listen to that episode. Absolutely. Oh, shameless plug. Shameless plug. We have enjoyed you being here another Wednesday with us. We have enjoyed the time that you have given us, and we don't take that lightly. We appreciate it. Also, you can find us on Google, Apple, Spotify, Amazon. Those are the audio podcasts. You can also find us on YouTube and on Traverse TV.